I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Great trying out today, isn't there, Louise? Great trying out. When you look out at the day and there's a breeze blowing as well, have you your line full of clothes today, have you?
Yes.
Full?
Full since last Friday evening.
Okay. I take it
anything that, I can wash.
I take it's not the same line of clothes as last Friday. No, just to clarify that. No.
Well, it just depends on the clothes.
Is it?
No, I'm joking.
Is it?
I'm joking.
Oh, my God almighty. No, at your house, there'll be plenty of washing to be done for sure. And many lines of washing going out. A station divided is the way you posted it last evening on social media.
Yep.
What do you mean by a station divided on the washing line?
Well, we just had a chat last week, didn't we? And
we did.
I just said, right, how do you hang out your washing? And you told me,
let's get this first off. I'm the secondary hanger out of washing in our house, but I do it. I certainly do hang out the washing. Did I tell you about the day I hung out the wash that wasn't washed?
No.
Oh, I did. Quite recently.
What do you mean it was washed but it wasn't washed?
It actually wasn't washed. It was in the machine ready to go. And I looked in and I pulled everything out, hung it out in the line. And ourself arrived home from work and said, what's that? And I said, I put the washing out earlier. It's not washed.
And did you not realise it was dry?
There were only trousers and jumpers and that. Now, let's get serious here. It wasn't the crucial stuff. Mainly it was a wash, really. Oh, honestly, trousers and jumpers and that. And I just grabbed it all, put it out in the line. I thought I was doing a great thing, but it wasn't washed. So that's just maybe context me and the hanging out. But I do, I am good. When I see a wash of that, I will put it out and I think the conditions are right. So how do I hang out clothes and I'm hanging around? What do you want to know first about? Jeans, is it, and trousers?
Yeah.
I hang them out by the bottom of the legs on the line. I two legs, one peg in each, and hang the wider part of the trouser, the waist, towards the ground. What way do you do it?
Jeans, waistband.
You do it the opposite.
I hang trousers by the waistband.
So, Louise, that doesn't make sense.
It does, because it looks nicer as well.
Forget about the aesthetics.
We were always told, growing up, bottoms from the top and tops from the bottom.
Folks.
So bottoms from the top, jeans from the top of the waistband, and then tops from the bottom. So you turn up the t-shirt upside down and hang it from the bottom. That's the way we were told growing up. And I actually thought I was right. And then I talked to you and I went, oh no, seriously. And then I asked a number of people and, well, you know, it's
the majority,
kind of
like, I think most people hang from the bottom of the legs, you know what I mean, the base of the legs, and leave the wider waist part hanging. Folks, what do you do at your washing? 086 1800 658, WhatsApp or text us. Is it by the waist? Is it by the legs? No, hold on, just don't leave it there. Okay, let's talk about jumpers or shirts. What way do you hang your jumpers?
From the bottom.
Yeah, from the bottom of the jumper, and you leave the arms,
flapping
down. We agree on that.
Oh, well, no. We don't. Unless it's, as I decided over the weekend, if you hang out, you know, if kids have like tracksuit tops.
Yeah.
For school tracksuit tops.
Yeah.
And some of them, the bottom waistband is really hard to dry.
Okay.
So I did your trick.
Hang it by the shoulders.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I don't
just
think,
for that one.
Yeah.
Like for those heavy waistbands, because you were on about the waistband.
Yes.
So I did the waistband of the jumpers.
Well, I generally hang jumpers or shorts by the bottom of
them.
And
I
let the
too.
Sleeves hang down. But I wouldn't disagree with you. At times, that's not a bad way to hang them, perhaps by the shoulders. Socks, one at a time on the line or in pairs?
Well, I generally have, you know, the little mini line that you attach to the line for socks and underwear and stuff.
Oh, with little pegs on them, a little roundy thing.
Yes.
And you put them one on that, one at a time
no,
on those
I'd put
mini
pairs.
Pairs at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd put pairs at a time on the main line, and we have that little round thing as well, and I probably would do them a pair at a time. Nothing else really matters. Is that everything covered? Undies, all that. It doesn't matter what way you hang them. It's all,
no,
all that's everything.
But I heard,
irrelevant.
You know, shirts.
Yeah?
You're meant to do it from the side seam. Because then again, the heaviest is on the bottom.
So you'd have the collar parallel with the line.
Mm.
Oh, jeez, I never heard of that before. No, no, definitely by the bottoms as well, letting the sleeves hang down.
And do you overlap?
Like, oh, no.
If you had two T-shirts, would you use three pegs instead of four and just slightly overlap?
If I have two T-shirts, you know me in life, four pegs for me, but you'd use three.
If I could get away with it,
that
yeah.
sums us up.
If I have a lot of washing, yeah.
Well, I suppose I'd give you that, but I like to have each done with two pegs. And if it's a real windy day, I'd put a third peg in the middle so it wouldn't blow away.
Oh, would you? I think half the fun is coming home and playing hide and seek with the washing across the line. No, I'm kidding. What about shorts? Right. Would you do, especially sports shorts, I would hang them by the strings.
Do you?
Like, you know the strings?
Yeah. No, I'd hang them by one peg.
If I ran out of peg.
One peg in each, in the base of each leg would be the way.
So you'd do, still shorts, you'd do from the bottom.
From the bottom. I think you have to let the waistband flutter in the air to get it dry better. I have to think so. I really do have to think so. By the way, if you've washing out today, go on for the crack. If you listen to us, have you lined and washing out? Have you washing out at all? Take an old picture and WhatsApp it into us. 086 1800 658. WhatsApp 086 1800 658. Take an old picture of the line. If you have a line of washing out today, we'd love to see it. We have some in on social media already because Louise posted this last night. There's a classic one there altogether. But let's talk about the weather, the wet weather the last while. What do you do when it's just consistently wet? Have you a dryer as well, yeah?
Yeah, but I try not to use the dryer unless I really have to. So, like, really, if it's a towel or maybe bed linen.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I have a clothes horse.
Well, there's another one. Bed linen, that doesn't matter. Just hang it as exposed as you can and get it as dry as you can. It doesn't really matter
just
there.
Just as long as it's off the ground.
Absolutely. Very important. Oh, that goes without saying. Here's the other thing. If you hung out your line of washing and it rained, and rained heavily, would you leave it out to dry out on the line?
Normally, yes, but this is Ireland you're talking about. So if you had to leave it out, it probably wouldn't come in for 3 months.
Yeah. And that would be no use to anybody.
But within
reason, if it rained, would you leave it? And if it dried out subsequently, you'd be happy enough with that, would you?
Yeah, would you?
But I better phone home and I have to phone a friend to find out.
Some people reckon there's a smell off the rain. Like if it rained and you brought in the clothes and it's dry, it'd smell funny. Well, I don't get
well,
that.
Well, talking about smells, and you're out in the countryside.
Silage.
What if people are spreading slurry?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't put it out.
If you live close to a piggery, people who live close to a piggery, you have to find out what way the wind is blowing, really, because you'll smell like a pig. You'll smell like a piggery. You'll smell of slurry, won't you, if it's out? It will. There's no doubt about that. You have to take these things into consideration when you're hanging out your clothes as well, when you live in the countryside. Isn't that a fact?
Yeah.
Because... oh, God almighty, it's shocking when that happens. I used to remember my father. He was the number one incinerator in the world. If he was alive today, paying for bins. He burned everything. But he used
in
to
a
go
big
out,
barrel out the
yes,
back.
Big barrel. Yep, just look down the road, up the road. Mrs. Thing has no washing out. They haven't out there and there. Fire, faulty. And he'd light it and away she'd burn like mad and he'd be happy with that. But there'd be ructions on the street if he set the fire and there was clothes out on the lines because, again, they'd be, you know, the smoke smell off them. The messages are flying into us. There's one there says, everything is hung upside down, Jerry. So that means from the legs, the jeans, upside down.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. Louise is right.
Yay!
I love a tidy washing line, says Imelda Fogarty. Imelda agrees with you with the way you hang things.
Yeah, if you know the way you were saying hanging from the legs, they're very quite untidy looking.
Oh, jeez, who cares about all tidy? Here's Paddy saying, Paddy says, my late mam always said this, tops by the bottom, bottoms by the top. Isn't that what you said?
That's what I said.
That's your saying.
Yeah.
My granny, says another listener, always said, if you wear it on the top, hang it from the bottom. And if you wear it on the bottom, hang it from the top.
There you go, the waistband.
God, that's strange now. Let's see, Anne from Anne. Look at Anne. Anne's washing out today.
To
good on you, Anne.
And
for
Anne has
sending
a straight washing line.
She has.
I have the other washing line. The kind of, it's square.
What do you mean?
You know, it does. It's not a line that goes from a point to a point. It's that other kind of washing line that you put in the ground, and it's
roundy,
square.
And it swings in the wind.
Yeah,
it can be roundier. So that's not a washing line
isn't
at all.
It?
You have no. I don't know what that is. You have. It's not a washing line. Hi, Jerry. Jeans by the waistband.
It's not a dog.
jeans by the waistband. Jumpers and t-shirts turned inside. By the shoulders, says Rose.
Oh.
Very particular there.
Hold on.
Here's another washing line come in to us. Oh, look at that one. Look at that there. Now, look at that line there. Have I a name there? I don't. You didn't put your name at this one, but you sent us a lovely picture of your clothesline. Looks a lovely day with a little bit of cloud in the sky.
And that's from the bottom.
From the bottom. Jumpers hung from the bottom and shorts along that line there. I love it.
Oh, I like this one.
Look at that one.
Yeah, they doubled up on the pegs. Do you see that?
I see that.
Yeah.
I see that there.
They have three pegs for two items. Yeah. Actually, they have five pegs for like three items.
Is that the
items.
One with the green jumper in it you're looking at there? That's a very orderly line, I have to say. Who sent that in to us?
So they have 12 pegs. With nine pieces of washing.
So they share there. We love your pictures. Put your name with them as well. Hi, Jerry and Louise. Like Louise, Louise is right, Jerry, about the trousers. With jumpers, I use a hanger.
Oh.
Put a couple of pegs on the hanger, on the line, and off you go. Just brought it in. Dried clothes now. Happy days. Where I live, you nearly have to stand over the clothes on a windy day, says Kathleen. There you go. A windy day is way up high. Way up. The one with the green jumper there. Do you see that there? Yeah. They're really at a height. I have a straight line, wall to wall.
Right. I don't know what you call those other ones.
I know, those ones. They can be round or square, I know. Do they rotate in the wind? Does the wind move them?
Yeah.
Or is yours fixed in the ground?
Well, it's fixed in the ground, but
it
moves.
Rotates
it
as well.
I find, because it's not, the ground isn't very level.
Yeah.
So sometimes if you have sheets, you have to be careful because it could go around and it could hit off the ground at one point if the wind flies around it.
Exactly. And then if you got a mad wind, it could like a helicopter and take off altogether. Imagine that taking off like Mary Poppins through the air with all your clothes in it, up high into the sky. Let's go fly a kite with your washing. I have to ask you, those slightly wide jeans.
Yes, just slightly wide.
What way do you hang them? Do you hang them by the waist as well? God, Louise, I think you should do them the other way,
honestly.
I was
going to try it, but like everybody else, you know, says bottoms up, tops down. You know, I'm just wondering, that lady that said about the jumper, because I did try this on some days, you know, when I was saying hang the jumpers by the top.
Yeah.
My pegs leave a mark. So when you take them off, there's a big kind of mark, and I don't iron. So you just pull them straight.
That's Annette O'Reilly in Duleek who sent that lovely picture into us with the green shirt in the middle of everything else. And she says, jumpers under the arm, she cat. You know, under the arm. She hangs them up under the arm. That's interesting, so it is. There's Sheila. Hello, Sheila. Look at Sheila's line of watching there. She's the towels out, there's jeans there
She's
on that
busy
one.
Busy lady.
There's jumpers. A busy woman indeed. Thank you, Sheila, for sending it. And it says, hi, Jerry. Here's another one. Look at that one there. Hi, Jerry. My clothesline, end of the calving season, says Rose. Look at all the warmers for the cattle. Look at a whole line of warmers for the cattle from Rose.
They'd not be really heavy to hang on the line, all of them.
Oh, very. Oh, massively
strong
heavy.
Strong line.
Jeepers tonight. Look at all the support in it and that as well. That is terrific altogether. If you've washing out, WhatsApp us in a picture. We love looking at them and the way you hang them. That's very
neat.
Look at all the pegs there on that one there.
That was what Bob Dylan wrote the song about.
What was that?
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
Blowing in the wind. Or maybe Peggy Sue about pegs. Who wrote that one? Very famous man as well. 086.
Yeah, Buddy Holly.
086 1800 658. WhatsApp us in your pics you're washing. We love looking at them today and it's a good day for getting the owl washing out. Back just to the wash itself, did you ever, you know, have a dye run or mix things or stuff like that? Did that ever happen to you with the wash?
Or accidentally have a pen in the pocket.
Oh,
and the
disaster.
Pen bursts.
Oh, stop. No.
And it's a whitewash.
Everything is pink. Red pen.
Black,
and everything comes out. It's shocking
when
that happens.
And you can't get out, just throw in the bin.
I know. There's nothing you can do about it. I always, and I'm going to say it again, the Italian jumper I got in Rome years ago and went into the wash. And when it came out, it wouldn't fit Action Man. It shrunk that much. Oh, that annoys me.
Did you buy yourself a couple when you were over there this time?
Yes.
Did you? Okay.
But they'll be looked after very well, I can assure you.
Laundrette.
Hi, Jerry. What are you talking about today? Says somebody. We're talking about your washing line and hanging out the washing. That's what we're talking about. It's come in there to us by text and what you do at your washing and how to hang it out and how best to get it dry as quickly as possible. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Back in a moment with our Navin Racing competition. Navin Racecourse is the place to be this Saturday. The flat season kicks off in style. The card features the SBK Vintage Crop Stakes and six other feature races. It's going to be a fantastic day's racing. And if you're there early, champion jockey Colin Keane, the Racing Post's David Jennings, at the races Kevin Blake. They're all together to host an exclusive preview panel in the Boyne Suite before racing on Saturday. It's a fantastic day's racing. You can book your tickets in advance or go there on the day. I have a lovely prize to give away each day. It's a racing bundle and it includes admission for two to Super Saturday at Navin, a race card, food voucher redeemable in the Kilberry restaurant, a €5 tote bet and a drinks voucher as well. Now you can't beat that. Would you like to go along on Saturday? Well, we're going to have a winner on Late Lunch again today. I want you to listen carefully because this is a famous voice of Irish racing, and if you know who it is, send us a message, WhatsApp us or text me to 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. That's 086 1800 658 with the name of this famous Irish racing personality and your details. Here we go.
You know, I got lucky all the time because the radio, much as I enjoyed it, I didn't improve from the very first commentary I did. I just didn't improve. You know, you want to be doing it all the time. Mm. But luckily, the wonderful Tony Sweeney, he was paddock commentator for RTÉ for a long time. I began filling in for him now and again, you know, and that led to the presentation. There was a wonderful head of sport called Tim O'Connor at the time. Lovely, lovely man. And he took a shine to me as a broadcaster and gave me every encouragement.
Who is that? A famous voice of Irish racing, relatively recently retired, but you must know it if you're into the GGs at all. And even if you don't, I'm sure it's familiar if you watched RTÉ for years. And we'll pick a winner for the Navin Races Prize before the end of the show on Late Lunch today. Well, what's the jury? What do you think between social media and the messages we're getting to the show today? Can we have a verdict, please, from the eminent judge, Miss Louise Walsh? What's the story? Give me the honest verdict. What do our listeners say? What do they say? What does it? Come on, I can't hear you, Louise. You got to put your microphone on.
There you go.
Yeah, you better put your mic. Yeah, you got to switch your microphone. Louise, it's no good talking to yourself in there. You
got
to put your microphone on. Anyway, come on, tell us.
I think on social media it's hanging the trousers by the legs, but I think from our WhatsApp listeners, it's bottoms up, tops down.
The other way, yes. And what about the Gansies and the shirts? What do you think? By the base. By the base. Come on. It has to be by the base.
I think bottoms up, tops down. So yeah, I think that's just general. Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? Isn't it interesting? See what you learn on this show. You learn lots.
I'm going to try it your way.
Yeah, come on. Try it and tell us how you get on. After two in the show, Professor John Sweeney on the War for Water, but taking us up towards 2 o'clock on Late Lunch. It's Westlife and My Love, dedicated to Peter and Charlie Moore, who are celebrating their birthdays today.
An empty street, an empty house, a hole inside my heart. I'm all alone, the rooms are getting smaller.
Climate is constantly in the news, but maybe not as much as you'd expect at this time, with everyone gearing up for local European elections, a potential Dáil election later in the year or early the following year. Lots of other issues are taking precedent, and that's quite obvious at the recent party conferences. But my next guest is a very good friend of ours on the show. He's our foremost climate expert. He's Emeritus Professor at Maynooth University, and he believes that water could be the next focus of a major war. Not a war literally, but a battle between householders and the farming community here in Ireland. And it certainly could be an issue worldwide. John, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us, John Sweeney.
Good afternoon, Jerry.
Well, I have to say, when I read what you have to say on this, and I'm sure listeners are saying, what is John Sweeney talking about? We've only been washed out of it since last October, and he's talking about a water war.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, I mean, I was just looking up the internet there, and I see that there were some clergy in Wexford praying for the rain to stop 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Here am I talking about water shortages as potential problems down the road. It shows you the way in which Irish climate lurches between extremes very quickly indeed. Now, I think what I wanted to say really was that, you know, we don't often think of Irish climate as having a drought component to it, but that's something that's become more clear over the past few years, largely as a result of some of my colleagues' work in Maynooth. But we've had major droughts in Ireland, not so much in the last 30 years, but we've had, if you remember, during the COVID, when we were all looking out at the good weather.
Yes.
We had the driest May since 1850 in 2020, and we had droughts in 2018. Now, what I wanted to highlight, though, really, was that as we move forward, it's more likely we're going to get summer dry periods and summer droughts in Ireland. The models are suggesting this is going to become more of a problem. And what it does is it highlights that water may become a dwindling resource in the future. If we take, for example, the area of Dublin, we know that Dublin consumes about 615 million litres of water a day. And 85% of that comes from the Liffey. But as you've probably seen in the headlines over the past few months, that water supply is very much on a knife edge. And in fact, many people were told to start conserving water in the middle of winter this year in January. So it means that if we want to build all these thousands of new houses that our politicians are promising, we have to be cognizant of the fact that it may well not be possible in some cases to connect water to them if we run short of a municipal supply. And that's the risk we're running in the future, and one I wanted to highlight, that unless we get alternative security for our water supply, all of which, 85% of which comes, as I say, from one river in the Dublin case, unless we get alternative sources, we're going to face a more risky future in terms of water supply. And we know that water, when it goes into shorter supply, can cause aggro and can cause conflict. Mm. It has been the source of conflict in many parts of the world, at the moment even. But even within Ireland, if we're going to face competition between a dwindling supply, a growing population, a large housing development, and then the needs for water for other things, like farmers, in the summers of the future, then it does make us, I think, stand up and think a little more about how are we going to plan for the huge taxpayer investments that are going to be required to cope with the climate change aspect that will throw into the mix as well. So that's really what I was trying to say. And I suppose, you know, when you think about it, you know, the people of Wicklow were very generous in the 1940s in giving their water supply to Dublin. Mm. You know, we're now faced with a similar issue in terms of the Shannon. And of course, we need to fix our leaks as well a bit better than we do. But there will be a limit to what we can do there as well.
That's what I was to say. I'm just looking at the fixes for this, and you've touched on a couple of them there, right? The pipework in the ground is ancient in many places. There's huge leakage. But in terms of replacing that or whatever, you know, and I know that is a massive, massive job to be done. But that's one area surely we could consider. But I'm going to throw another couple at you, John. Right, we have lots of rivers and lakes in this country. You mentioned the Shannon. We have big lake systems as well. Should we be building greater storage? Should we look at creating large reservoirs to catch all this rain that falls autumn and winter, and that we have it when we need it?
I think you're right. I think we could look a little closely at maybe having some kind of storage. And it was one of the original plans for the Shannon scheme that the water in excess of the winter was going to be stored in a bog and then pumped up to Dublin during the summer months. And that, to me, made a lot of sense. But that seems to have disappeared, and now we're just simply going to pump the water directly. It is hard these days to find new sites for large reservoirs. I mean, we were blessed in the Wicklow Mountains by the fact that we could dam up a huge area with only one small dam. And that kind of opportunity doesn't exist. I mean, there's not many places you can think of in Louth and Meath where you could establish those big reservoirs.
Yes.
But I think it still makes sense to do an exploratory survey of where potential reservoir development might happen and how we would go about compensating the landowners involved and so on in doing that. It would be a big task. But you're right about the leaks. I mean, currently about around 35 or 6% of the water supply goes into the ground and is lost. And there is a need to fix that. They're old Victorian pipes. There will be a point to which you come where the cost benefit will simply not be worthwhile doing more repairs. When you get to, I don't know, 20 or so percent, the cost of that extra bit will be just too great in terms of the cost of alternatives. So, you know, I think we have to go to that point, though, anyway, and make sure that we're husbanding water, if you like, as well as we can. But, you know, we have had all sorts of extremes historically. We've had major droughts in Ireland in the 1760s. We've had major droughts in the 1880s. There was one time at which we envisaged dynamite in Killiney Bay to try and create rain, to try and create clouds for rain. So that was the length to which our ancestors were going when they didn't have that reliable water supply. But we're thankful we have it now because it's also a source of health for us. But I think we do have to look to the future in terms of adapting to what's coming down the road in terms of climate change and making sure that the next generation is not left unprepared in terms of a reliable water supply, which is basic human right, of course.
Yes, and we were talking about this in a more general sense yesterday on Earth Day, and of course water is part of that. The other one I want to mention to you before I finish, Louise was abroad recently in a very dry country and they don't have the water that we have ever, and yet they are converting saline water into fresh water. What about that option, John?
Well, it's one that has become technologically more feasible in recent years. It used to require huge amounts of energy to do it. And from the point of view of Ireland, it didn't make any economic sense. I don't think it will make sense for us for a long, long time to start using energy sources to desalinate water. But some of the membranes and some of the filters, if you like, have become technologically much better in recent years. And you know, the countries abroad that use it are countries that really don't have the groundwater supplies and certainly don't have the surface water supplies that we are blessed with here in Ireland. So, you know, I would rather spend our money elsewhere, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, but it is a key resource, water. You're so right, in this country, and I see it myself. I often say here, I'll go mad if there's a drought announced by Irish Water in the near future, but they are the swings that you can see in our climate, and it really is a big concern. John, always love chatting to you. Thank you so much for taking the call from us today again on the show.
Okay, Jerry, all the best.
Take care of yourself. That's Emeritus Professor John Sweeney there, the man who we regard as one of the experts in our country about climate change. And he's talking about the challenges that we face here in Ireland. Look, there are solutions. I mean, the pipework thing is a huge job. I mentioned that as well. But I am inclined to think that storage is an option. I saw a job actually going on in recent years on the north side of Drogheda. There are two reservoirs, Killinear and Barnaton, and they're linked. And then there's filtration beds near the town. It was the supply for Drogheda at one stage, believe it or not. But the way this town is going and the size of the population that's going to live here in the very near future. When the new M1 was being built up at Barnaton, they quarried up there for shale to build the road. And there was a great opportunity to extend that reservoir extensively and store more water. And I believe a trick was missed there. And that was an opportunity for sure. But there you go. It's only a little opinion I have. You have plenty of opinions too. We love to hear them on Late Lunch. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text after the break. Are you ready for your two on Tuesday?
It's time for our Two on Tuesday.
Two on Tuesday.
Playing the songs that just never quite made it to number one.
But we were so close.
I'm supposed to be number one.
We were so close.
Two on Tuesday.
Two on a Tuesday. 2019 for my Two on Tuesday this afternoon, released on the 11th of January 2019. Some song, the most played song in the UK in that year, but it failed to make it to number one. It spent 5 weeks at number two. Wouldn't you think it'd have nudged there? It just couldn't. It sat there for 5 weeks and then fell away. Yes, sir. Two on Tuesday, this Tuesday, Mr. Calvin Harris and Rag and Bone Man, It's Giant.
I understood loneliness before I knew what it was. I saw the pills on your table for your unrequited love. Oh, I would be nothing without you holding me up. Now I'm strong enough for both of us. Both of us, both of us, both of us. My shoulders, tell me what you see. Cause I am a giant. We'll be breaking boulders underneath our feet.
Two on Tuesday, yes, Giant from Calvin Harris and Rag and Bone Man. What a song. 5 weeks at number two in the UK charts. How come it didn't make it to number one? Well, I think you may understand now when we give the number one a spin. Big number one in that year, 2019. Stayed at number one for 7 weeks. No surprise. Here it is, the one that kept Rag and Bone Man and Calvin Harris off top spot. It's Mr. Lewis Capaldi and Someone You Loved.
I'm going on during this time. I fear there's no one to save me. This all or nothing really got away. You're driving me crazy. I need somebody to hear, somebody to know, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you numbed all the pain. Now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you loved. I'm going under. This time I fear there's no one to turn to. And it kinda used to be it, so what you loved.
Oh my word, what a song. Mr. Lewis Capaldi and Someone You Loved, the number one that prevented Calvin Harris and Rag and Bone Man with Giant making it to number one. 7 weeks that was, a top spot in the UK chart. Tough one today, Louise.
Really tough.
A tough one. Mm. Which for you? Go on, make a choice.
I was going to go for the underdog here. I was going to go for number two because I love the beat to it. But then I forgot that mm-hmm. Lewis Capaldi song. And then, nah, Lewis for me. Brilliant.
Yes, majority decision at the court of Two on Tuesday today. I go with Lewis Capaldi as well. Yeah. The other song is terrific. It really is. I'd say only for he was lodged there at number one. Sure, surely it would have been a number one itself. But there
it's
you
otherworldly.
Go. Yeah, Lewis Capaldi for me too. So there you go. Another one for you this time next week. Oh, you know what? People are great. Late lunch listeners, you're fantastic. Look at that clothesline there. Come in.
Oh, it's
in. Definitely waistbands top and tops from the bottom, says a listener. I don't have a name. Lovely clothesline. clothesline. My big high line broke on Sunday, so I'm using makeshift ones till I can find a man to reach the high one again. There's somebody looking for a man to sort out their clothesline. There you go. Maybe there's a little hint or whatever in that. We love it. And what a clothesline that is there. And it's, look, necessity is the mother of invention, Louise. You can see it there. Let me see. There's another one there. Came in. Storm Kathleen from Yvonne. I think it's from Yvonne Coleman in Tuberfin. Storm Kathleen. Look at that for a clothesline there. And it's blown away and the clothes are drying beautifully on it. Thank you so much for taking time to take that picture. Richard's mobile laundry dryer can be wheeled under.
Like that.
Look at that.
That's great.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
Can be wheeled under the pergola when there's a shower. There you go. It's a mobile line.
Oh, no, it does. It has loads of little strings on it.
It has. And it has wheels on it as well. Good man, Richard.
And he hangs from the waistband down.
I see that.
With the buttons opened.
I see that. You got confirmation, affirmation
there.
But I do
like that little invention.
That's good.
That's really good.
I think you're onto something there. Do you remember Peggy Rayne? We spoke to your man about the Peggy Rayne thing.
He went on to Dragon's Den.
Yeah, he got onto Dragon's Den. He got an investment as well in it.
His garden is lovely too.
It's really nice, really neat. We like your garden. We love your lines. And thank you so much for everybody who's took time to send their pics in of the washing lines today. Hi, Jerry and Louise. Both songs are great. Jane loves the two on Tuesday. She's on every week from Dundalk, but I go for Lewis Capaldi too. There you go. So we're all in. It's all harmony today has broken out on Late Lunch over the two on Tuesday. I just want to remind listeners that dot, do you remember Dot Cotton in East End? Do you remember? Dot.ie in conjunction with Drogheda District Chamber are holding an information session for local businesses on how to develop their online presence this Thursday, 12 noon in Scotch Hall Shopping Centre. It's a pop-up event, a good introduction for businesses of all sizes who want to thrive online or improve their digital footprint. For more information, it's a free event. Contact Brenda at drogheda.ie or check it out on drogheda.ie. Well, I tell you a joke before we go to the break. Tommy Cooper.
Oh, I love Tommy Cooper.
You like Tommy?
Just like that.
Tommy. I saw a little Tommy Cooper joke on my phone there. Two cannibals were eating a comedian and one said to the other, "Does he taste a bit funny?" That's a Tommy Cooper joke. I just had to mention Tommy.
It's so awful.
I have to feature him on the comedy on Friday, don't I? I have to get a string of his simple but funny jokes, Mr. Tommy Cooper. We remember him today. Anyway, up next on Late Lunch, we're going to meet young TY students from Louth and Meath who absolutely love cooking. Suddenly, the studio is full. I have a packed studio. Yes, and I'm delighted to have as well, because we're going to talk about cooking and all that type of thing for the next while. And in a moment, we're going to meet TY students from Meath and Louth. But first, it's a while since I've seen him. I'm delighted to have him back on the show. He's a great guy. You remember him from the Forge restaurant in Carnaross? Well, his life has taken many twists and turns since then. But he's back with me on Late Lunch today. Pádraic White, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having us in, Jerry. It's great to be here. So it is. Thanks very much.
Tell the listeners, why are you here? What's happening?
We have, I'm working down in Cavan Institute now, as I spoke to you before. I teach on a TY Commis Chef Apprenticeship Programme there. And with the need for new blood, should I say, to join the industry, we've created in Cavan the food group. And alongside with Cavan Institute, we've created a TY cookery competition for the region. Really and truly what it is to facilitate the passion and skills of eager students, as I have sitting here beside me, in the different regions. So for instance, we go to Monaghan, we have our county competition in Monaghan. All the schools in Monaghan participate, they submit their menus using the local food groups, the Morton Monaghan food group, and they go to Monaghan Institute and they have their county final there. Very exciting times when it happens, a lot of nerves, but a lot of learnings actually. A lot of learnings and a lot of skills shown, which is really, really good. We rinse and repeat the same thing in Cavan Institute then. We go to the Created in Cavan food group. Go to the Created in Cavan food group along with the Cavan County Council. That gets facilitated in Cavan Institute in the college that I teach in. We use those facilities for the county competition. And again, we got two teams from County Cavan.
Okay.
And then also we go to Meath and Louth then. And that's the girls that we have in here with us today. It's the girls from Meath and Louth. And that's the Boyne Valley Food Series. And that's the local food group in in Mead and Louth. So they create a menu, a starter and a main course and dessert, using three of the producers' lists that we've given them from each food group. And the final was as part of the Samhain Food Festival in Kells this year, which was really, really good. We had great judges come in for it. There was Jess Murphy was in for it, and I'm sure the girls will get into that.
Yeah.
They'll get into that later on, their experience with Jess, that she was one of the prizes actually for the competition. But really and truly, it's just to bring on young girls and lads to kind of take them out of their comfort zone when it comes to cooking. They're getting taught really, really well in the schools with their home economics teachers. So it's given them a platform to showcase their skills. And that's what it's about.
We're going to talk to them about their skills in a moment. Is there a competition coming up for the students you have here with us today?
We have the final tomorrow, actually. The final is tomorrow in Cavan. That's what I met. I saw the girls in the foyer there, and I says, it's great that you have time now and all
so
the pressure
relaxed.
Of a competition.
They're so laid back, isn't it? And the final is tomorrow.
Tomorrow in Cavan Institute.
In Cavan. Yeah. So the girls with us today representing Sacred Heart in Drogheda and St. Joseph's in Navan are both in the final.
And they're both in the final.
Representing Meath and Louth.
Meath and Louth. And then we have Inver College. We have Inver College from Carrickmacross representing Monaghan. We have Beech Hill. We have Beech Hill in Monaghan as well. And then we've got Coot Hill. We've got St. Aidan's in Coot Hill representing Cavan. And we've got Loretto Cavan representing
Nen.
So I'd just like to, not being biased, but I'd like to wish them all the very, very best of luck tomorrow. They've put a lot of work and effort into it. So the very best of luck to you all when it comes round tomorrow.
Let's have a chat with the girls themselves about this and see what they have to say and how they are actually feeling about tomorrow. Will we start in Drogheda with Sacred Heart? Is that okay? And have a chat with Si Vellums and Chloe Cromwell. Welcome to the show. Thank you both for joining me today. What are you doing tomorrow? What are you preparing? What are your dishes?
So we're doing a Spanish omelette with a side salad of like honey roasted cashews and roasted red pepper chutney. And then for our dessert we've done apple and blackberry cake with Silly Sid's local ice cream.
Lovely. And as Borek said, you're using producers and ingredients from the Boyne Valley.
That's
What about this competition, the programme? How do you feel about it? In terms of your transition year, how has this been?
It's been really good. Like, it's such a good opportunity, like, to get to do it. Like, it was just, like, in the spur of the moment, we were like, oh, we should just enter it. And then it took us this far, so it was really good. Mm. Like, it was unexpected.
What goes on in the Sacred Heart School as regards, you know what I mean, cookery, food preparation? What happens there besides this competition?
Yeah, so in TY we have a cookery programme as well. So we've like practiced cooking in that, so it's helped us for a competition in TY.
Do you love cooking?
Yeah, I love cooking.
Yeah,
me too. So both of you are into this.
Yeah.
And is yours still an all-girl school, the Sacred Heart?
Yeah, you still remain an all-girl.
So there's no boys in your group. What about Navan? Are you boys and girls?
No, we're an all-girls school.
You're an all-girls school as well. So in terms of, you know, being at home and cooking at home, let's go back to Sacred Heart. Do you do much at home? Do you help much out at home with cooking or that? Or is that somebody else's responsibility?
Well, yeah, I actually do like doing cooking.
Do you?
Yeah, I would enjoy doing it.
Do you at home?
Yeah.
And you enjoy, what about yourself?
Yeah, I enjoy cooking and baking as well.
Okay, so it is a thing at home as well as in school.
Yeah.
What about the competition? I said you look real laid back and no nerves at all today. Are you that cool? You look really cool to me.
Yeah, like it's really exciting for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I feel like not as nervous because I don't know, I feel a bit prepared.
Yes.
Like, kind of know what it's like because last time
it
was like the first one.
Yeah, so you've been through this before. You have a bit of experience that you'll bring in tomorrow. Do you watch MasterChef on television at
all? Yeah, I do.
Oh, that's, that is pressure. Will it not be like that tomorrow? Do you not feel it might be a little bit like that?
Yeah, I think so. Scale.
It'll certainly get like that, Jerry, so it will. They come in. I suppose with the experience that I would have had from it now, I'd say the girls have probably practiced this within an inch of its life now at this stage. And mums and dads have been eating their dishes for the last couple of weeks now as it comes up. But something we add into the competition actually, Jerry, is and makes it very, very interesting. Last year we put the element of a mystery box into it. So there was a selection of random product on the table, and on at that minute that the students came in and the box was presented to them, they had to make up a dish. that complemented their dish that they were cooking itself.
Ah, you see, you're stealing that from MasterChef, yeah. I see. That's
correct. That's correct.
The one way you're caught, you know what I mean? And you don't know what you have to actually cook. Would that faze you if you got ingredients out of the blue tomorrow and you weren't, you know, had no preparation done, unlike the dishes you've planned?
I think, like, it would be really cool. Like, it's different. Like, it's kind of unexpected.
Yeah. Okay.
It'd be cool to see what we come up with. Well.
So good luck, Sacred Heart, Indrogheda representing Louth tomorrow. Let's move to County Meath and have a chat with the team here. Welcome to the show from St. Joseph's Mercy in Navan, Lara Fanning and Niamh O'Leary. Again, you look like cool customers to me. No sweat in the brow or anything in a radio studio, I'm sure, for the first time today. Tell us about the dishes you're preparing, please.
Well, for our main, we're making an amatriciana chicken tray bake. And then for the dessert, we're doing chocolate professionals.
Oh, that sounds really exotic to me. It does. Have you had much practice at preparing these dishes?
Yeah, only yesterday we were practicing it in school.
Do you like it yourself, Teeth? Do you like your own dishes that you prepare yourself? Yeah, you do. You love what you're preparing. I think that's an important thing to have as well, that you like what you're doing yourself. Tell us again, like the girls from Drogheda told us here, about yourselves and cooking. Is it something that you love doing? You know when you're a small child and your mum or dad or whoever's looking after you cooks for you and prepares for you or whatever. Did you start doing anything at home yourself?
Oh, yeah. Like most nights, if I'm free, I'll be making dinner for my family.
Wow.
You're fantastic women, I have to say. God almighty. So you work at this at home as well. What do you love to cook at home?
Sort of a bit of everything. One that I really like and sort of the whole family enjoys is chorizo bean burgers.
Oh, really nice. So a combination of the beans and the flavour of the chorizo all mixed together in a burger.
Yeah.
God, that sounds really nice to me. Lucky your house and your family. What about yourself? Come into the mic there and tell me about it. About you and cooking at home.
Yeah, I especially like baking at home. Like so sweet things. Like when I was younger, I used to always help my mum making all the birthday cakes and stuff. And I still, like, it was my sister's 18th the other day, and I made her a big birthday cake for her. So
good on you. Well done, a birthday. That's a big responsibility to make a cake for an 18th birthday, isn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly is. Anyway, for tomorrow and going into the competition, are you like the girls from Sacred Heart and Drogheda? You've done this before. You're pretty cool with it.
Yeah, it was definitely more nerve-wracking last time because we didn't really know what to expect. But it wasn't as bad as we thought it would be last time. So I'm more just excited for this one.
You know, you're carrying the weight of the Royal County on your shoulders. You can't let me down tomorrow. You can't let Lou down either. Remember this. This is very important. It's the honour of the county tomorrow. You understand that, yeah?
Yeah.
You do. But in terms of life skills and that, this is a thing Pádraig alluded to it there, for girls and boys, it's a very important skill to have. Do any of you see yourself, you know, following a route like Pádraig did, you know, with his wonderful Ford restaurant in Carnaross, and look where he is now as a tutor in the college. Would any of you have any interest in that type of area in the future? What do you think?
Yeah, like probably.
Would you?
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. And yeah.
And back to Sacred Heart. Anybody here, or is it something like you're doing as your TY, you're in this competition? No or yes? What do you feel?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I would like to keep it up because, like, I do enjoy doing it a lot. Like, this would be kind of like one that I would want to.
Yeah, I'm the same as well.
Okay,
we had that conversation, Jerry, actually, out with some of the teachers out in the foyer as well, that taking this forward and turning it into a profession, that the majority of students that put themselves forward for this TY cookery competition would be girls. Although we have a few schools that boys have presented and done really, really well in it. But when you transfer that into professional cooking, the majority of head chefs...
I was going to say this to you, are men.
Yeah.
And boys correct. As well. Yeah, yeah, come on, ladies. Yeah. It's time to shake this up. It really, really is. Yeah. And isn't that a strange
Those stats have come out of that now. Yeah. And very interesting stats as well. But just when you were on about life experience there, something came into my head as well. Because we've added, it's not just the there's an if, an and a but maybe here. It's not just the mystery box that we're going to do. There could be another element of a skills demonstration that might be added to tomorrow's cookery competition.
Would you feel pressure for that? Come on, County Meath, would you?
Maybe, but like, I mean, it's all really interesting to see new things anyways. And sure, we would like give it our best shot.
It wouldn't faze you, would it?
No, because I'm sure we'll get a good demonstration of it.
And that's the good girl yourself. That's very much. She's throwing it back on me now, so she is, Jerry, because she's going, make sure you give me a good demonstration and I'll do well.
No pressure on you, Pádraig, there at all. I want to take a wee break. Will you stay with me? We're chatting about cooking and TYs and the big competition tomorrow in Cavan. And we have the Louth and Meath representation with us in studio. Go nowhere. Oh yes, the pressure's on tomorrow without doubt. Big competition. We have the Louth and Meath representation here. They're going to Cavan tomorrow to compete with Cavan and Monaghan as well in a wonderful TY cooking initiative. Pádraig White is with us here as well. Sive Ellams and Chloe Cromwell are from Sacred Heart in Drogheda, and Laura Fanning and Niamh O'Leary from St. Joseph's Mercy in Navan. Pádraig, Super Value play a big part in this, and we really want to give them a mention today on the show.
Yeah, the Super Value do a really play a big part in it. They sponsored the cup, Jerry, and really and truly, as we were speaking there, what the girls are cooking for tomorrow is there's no prize money in this. They're cooking for pride. And Super Value Food Academy link in with all the local food groups, be it Cavan, Monaghan, be it Kerry, be it Cork, Sligo, Galway, and all those groups. This competition is going to get very, very big over the next few years, so it is. But they support all the local producers through their food academy, and they're more than happy. Carmel began as the lady that we deal with, and she's a wonderful woman. She champions it at every corner we turn. Is there anything we need or anything we want? But all we want is more local food, really and truly. That's what we want to support. We want people to make it a household name, local food producers in the Boyne Valley, more to Monaghan, created in Cavan, and all over Ireland. And that's the initiative for it. And I can't thank them enough for that support, to be honest with you.
You have four wonderful young women today here from TY in the schools who obviously love cooking, preparing food as well. Let's run round the house, because I'm curious myself to see what they like. Sive, will you tell me, please, Sive Ellams from Sacred Heart in Drogheda, what is your favourite dish? What do you love to eat?
I love anything Italian, so like pasta is probably my favourite dish.
You're a woman after my heart. I have to say, Italian food, it's simple, but you can't beat it.
Yeah.
But if you had an Italian dish, one Italian dish, what's your favourite of the Italian dishes to eat?
Lasagna, I'd say.
Now you're talking. Will you cook one for me sometime? I love lasagna too. Let's hear from Chloe Cromwell. What about you?
I've got to be the same. The Italian would be like my favourite now.
And would you differ any way, you know, in terms of, we heard lasagna there, what would you like from an Italian menu if you were picking or cooking for yourself?
Any pasta dish, like bolognese, like pesto pasta, like honestly any, like I'd like making like pasta sauces as well at home. So it's really
fantastic.
Nice.
Italian blood flowing through the Sacred Heart ladies. Let's go to St. Joseph's Mercy in Navan. Laura Fanning first, tell me about you and what you love to eat and cook.
Honestly, Italian as well.
Oh my God almighty. Buongiorno, we are Italians today on Late Lunch. Anything Italian?
Carbonara.
Oh, we've got three different Italian dishes. Well, Niamh O'Leary, are you going to buck the trend and tell me something different?
Well, I really like Mexican food, like to cook and to eat.
Good on you.
Okay.
That's where your bean burger came in there a moment ago. Well, there we have one different. Mexican food is your favourite. Lovely, lovely, lovely. But look at, we live in a world, as you know, Pádraig, where the cuisines of the world are international now. Look at Ireland now, how much it's changed.
It's amazing.
We've embraced everything, haven't we?
We have embraced that. Just the multicultural society of Ireland, and it's wonderful how it's come into our neighbourhoods. You know, a lot of it through street food, to be honest with you. And it's about embracing that. It's about embracing ingredients. It's about embracing palates and changing palates and developing your palates to different things. Just for the record, mine's a shepherd's pie.
Good on you, Pádraig. Yeah, why not? But and I want to emphasise this. We talk about international food, Mexican food, all based upon wonderful local Irish ingredients.
Correct.
The best of beef, you know what I mean? Our eggs, our flour, everything you talk about here, you can incorporate our Boyne Valley producers and the other producers in Cavan and Monaghan when you're creating these wonderful dishes of the world too.
Correct, and that's it. And that's another thing that local producers have really, really embraced. Local Irish producers and not so much local Irish producers and non-nationals as well.
Yes.
And they've taught us quite a lot, and they've taught our local producers quite a lot, which is really, really good. But we've embraced that, and it's creating local produce that are going to make their product. Mm. And that's what I've seen is really, really good. But this competition is not only for schools networking and girls learning. It's about small producers networking. So tomorrow we'll have Boyne Valley Food Series setting up their stall for their food produce. We'll have Morton Monaghan setting up their stall with food produce, and then the same created in Cavan. And that'll give the network leaders time to network and learn from one another and network and find out different things about.
Fantastic to have you all in the studio with me today. Let me say a big thank you to you, Páraic White, and wish the very best to Sive Ellams and Chloe Grommel from Sacred Heart in Drogheda representing Louth, and Lara Fanning and Niamh O'Leary, St Joseph's Mercy in Navan. Bring home the bacon. Can I say that to you? May you all have a great day tomorrow. And thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Thanks a million, folks.
Thanks very much, Sherry.
The flat season kicks off in style at Navan Racecourse this Saturday with the SBK Vintage Crop Stakes and six other feature races. It's going to be a fantastic day, and you can get your tickets online or on the day. We have a lovely bundle to give away each day on late lunch. Admission for two to Super Saturday at Navan, a race card, food voucher redeemable in the Kilberry restaurant, a €5 tote bet, and a drinks voucher to boot. All you had to do was identify this racing great.
You know, I got lucky all the time because the radio, much as I enjoyed it, I didn't improve from the very first commentary I did. I just didn't improve. You know, you want to be doing it all the time. Mm. But luckily, the wonderful Tony Sweeney, he was paddock commentator for RTÉ for a long time. I began filling in for him now and again, you know, and that led to the presentation. There was a wonderful head of sport called Tim O'Connor at the time. Lovely, lovely man. And he took a shine to me as a broadcaster and gave me every encouragement.
The wonderful Robert Hall there, racing great for sure. Thank you to everybody who messaged in that bundle for Navan on Saturday going to Caitlin O'Dwyer. Well done to you, Caitlin. We'll be in touch to make the arrangements. And I have a bundle to give away Wednesday, Thursday and Friday on the show. Louise, can you help Paula McDonald? She's living at Cairns Cross in Dunlear. My clothesline would deeply love some decent pegs. I've tried everything from wooden to wire to plastic. The site's on a hill, so it gets a great breeze. It's very windy a lot of the time. What do you recommend for Paula peg-wise? What pegs do you use? I meant to ask you that, actually.
First ones that come. I tried the wooden ones.
Yeah.
But I find they just rot. And then the plastic ones break.
Bing, they go like that. I know that as well. So there's a little fat plastic one. Can I say that? Can I call a peg fat? Is that politically correct today? I'm sure I can.
It's wide.
Little fat peg. No, let me say it again. A little fat peg with a good grip on it, Paula. I must take a picture of it and send it
Where'd
on to you as well. I don't do any of that type of shopping stuff for that type of thing.
I suppose the wooden ones would be more environmentally friendly, if you kind of go that way.
Funny thing about these little fat plastic ones.
You like saying that word, don't you?
I do, yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. They last. they last years. The little
what kind of a peg is it?
A little fat plastic peg. They last years. I think it's the fatness of them that gives them the extra grip. I think so. Anyway, I'll take a picture of my fat pegs, Paula, and I'll send it on to you. I promise. Anyway, you better give that yoke a spin there before we don't control ourselves laughing. Here we go.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
Yes, it is Amy Winehouse all this week with the release of the movie Back to Black and lots of other things happening about her this year as well. She's from London, or was from London, Southgate area. She was born into a Jewish family. didn't like school at all and had little time for her faith, to be honest. Her parents separated when she was 9 and she lived with her mother. But it was her granny Cynthia who encouraged her to attend the Susie Earnshaw Theatre School, which she absolutely loved. She went there at weekends and she moved on then to the Sylvia Young Theatre School, where her talent was recognised. At 14, Amy bought a guitar and began writing her own songs. She sang, did you know this, with a local London group called the Bolsha Band and became the featured female vocalist with the National Youth Jazz Orchestra in the UK. Simon Fuller's management agency signed her up in 2002 and she secured a publishing deal with EMI, which saw her release her debut album called Frank in October 2003. And it was critically acclaimed. It reached the upper reaches of the UK Albums Chart too. It sold very well, was nominated for a Brit Award, and in 2004 she first appeared that year on Foot of the Album and Our Music at Glastonbury. My song today from Amy was released from Back to Black, only her second and final studio album, and it was released in January 2007. You know I'm no good, Miss Amy Winehouse. Miss Amy Winehouse and You Know I'm No Good, my artist of the week on Late Lunch. Oh, Louise, I knew there'd be trouble at Mill. We've had a call from the unloved Peg Association of Ireland who've been on to say they're offended at me calling them fat pegs.
You have to apologise.
I could have called them fat pigs. Fat pegs. I'm only pulling your leg. Caroline Burke, shame on you, Jerry. You should have referred to them as my well-endowed pegs, says Caroline Bork, with a lot of smileys behind that there. Oh, I can see Dimpner from Hoy's DIY taking that on there, Caroline. Yes, for the next ad, to be sure. Paula says, to keep clothes pegs working, stop leaving them on clotheslines when they're not being used. They get lonely. They get cold. They feel they're unloved. And Jerry, my peg collection from left to right, the best to worst. From left to right, there's a wooden one there, a plastic one, and a metal one on that. That's come in from, oh yeah, that's Paul again. They're all rubbish, Paul. I see that. I'll have to send you the picture of mine for sure. Final break of the afternoon and Late Lunch, and the farmers are ecstatic. They're having time to sleep, get a cup of tea or a sandwich. They're that busy getting the spuds and the grain into the ground. But we are going to interrupt Mr. Ivan Curran in Stamullen for just a few moments in a moment's time. No need to remind you, because we heard from them on Late Lunch. Farmers and growers were in despair up until recently, but thankfully the short spell of dry weather we've enjoyed since late last week has changed the picture. I think we've just managed Ivan Curran to stop the tractor for a few minutes in Stamullen to have a chat with us. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Jerry, how are you?
I'm really good. Anyway, the outlook is brighter. What's happening? You're getting spuds, barley, beans and maize all into the ground.
Yeah, we're trying anyway. We're planting away all right, a few nice dry fields, but a lot of fields are still too wet to plant. But we're making slow progress on the potato front. We're sowing beans at the minute. Some of our grain ground is still not fit to plough yet, but we're making progress. It's getting better every day, Jerry. Yeah.
What do you think looking ahead? I've had a look at the forecast. There is some moisture about. I don't know how much there's going to be. Are you confident that you're going to be working ahead and that soft ground will dry up?
Well, soft ground will dry up the longer days, of course, and warmer conditions dry up, but they won't take a lot of rain. But it's hard to read the forecast. It seems to be a good bit of rain maybe coming Saturday and even some coming as early as Thursday. It wouldn't take a lot to start things again, but if it's only a couple of mil of rain, it's not a problem. But if you got 10 or 12 mil of rain again, you'd be back to square one, you know.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Never, ever. In all my life. I've never seen it as wet, never this wet ever.
Mm. And for the spuds, what did you do? Is this first early's only gone in at this stage?
Yeah, the early's have only begun in yet at this stage. Yeah. Everyone will be planting. The early's have gone in, the queens and the home guards, all that sort of stuff have begun in now.
Yeah.
And then you get into your rooster then after that, planting your rooster, your main crop potatoes. Some people would be planting a few rooster to get as early as they can, but it'll still be September, I say, again, there's any rooster, you know.
So this means that, you know, the Irish spuds that we traditionally saw on the market early enough, when you were able to get earlier planting, that ain't going to happen this week. That's going to be this year. There's going to be a number of weeks before we see queens or the home guards or the first earlies.
Oh, absolutely. I'd say it'll be into August again, you see them.
Will it?
It'll be definitely the end of July, I'd imagine, again. There might be a couple of bits and pieces, but very little. You'll get glasshouse potatoes, all
yes.
right, from Irish glasshouse potatoes, but it'll be into August before there's any supply of earlies, I'd imagine, queens and that sort.
Will the rooster, obviously if this, hopefully there won't be a high number millimetre wise of rainfall over the coming weeks, but rooster planting, as you say, some will put in earlies, but at this stage roosters will come in at the normal time if you can get planted in the next few weeks, yes?
Well, rooster, if you get planted in the next, well, if you'd like to have your rooster in the ground before the 15th of May.
Yeah.
But if you're planting that late, you're still going to be well into September
okay.
and into October before they're fit to harvest. You will have rooster, but they will be later than normal, if you'd like to put it that way.
Yeah, okay. So that's going to, even the main crops are going to be delayed, and it's all coming together. I take it you and your colleagues are working night, noon and morning.
Yeah, we're working as long as we can. We're starting at 6 in the morning until 10 at night, but you can't, like Gavin said, you're working all night, but you're... You've only a limited amount of lads, you can't walk people all night. You just have to do as long hours as you can, because they're skilled men driving the machinery. You can't just get any lad to drive the tractors now, you know?
Yeah, of course.
You can only do as many hours as you can.
What about grain? Talk to me about grain for a minute. What about grain? What's the situation there? You mentioned beans. I know you do a bit of maize and barley as well. What's the story there?
Well, the grain is... look, lads are starting to get going with grain. Not every... people are starting to sow grain again slowly. There's a lot of ground still too wet even to plough for grain, but things are starting to pick up now. You can see more sow. Only the last day or two you can see lads starting to get going sowing, but it's very, very late for grain. Like for barley, really at the end, you should have either spring barley in by now. Beans, it's way too late for beans now, but you have to just look at sow, the fields will be well back in the mall, like, but you just have to sow your something into your ground, you know. It won't be financially the best, like, you won't make anything out of it financially, but you'll just keep your ground right for another year. That's the bottom line, Jerry.
Yeah, that is the bottom line, is right. Ivan, thanks. Short update from you. Thank you so much.
You're
wish
welcome.
You all well. Hope the weather stays fair.
Thanks, Jerry.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
That's Ivan Kern in Stamullen. They're working all hours God sends them. Wendy says, the best pegs ever are from Lidl, Jerry. Check them out. Another one. I have pegs since I got married 45 years ago. I take them in every time I take the washing in. If somebody else said that, you need to take them off the line. Another one. Jerry, hanging clothes outside. Always hang clothes on the clothesline outside. You wear them under the way you wear them, okay? So you hang them the way you wear the shorts, and after you bring in your dry clothes, bring in the pegs as well, says a County Meath listener. There you go. So many of you with advice for us today on the washing line and hanging our clothes on the pegs as well. We'd have to come back to the pegs. Must check out those Lidl ones. Eddie Caffrey's on his way on LMFM Radio with The Drive. Stay with us for wonderful music, updates and more besides. We'll be back with your midweek late lunch tomorrow Wednesday from 1:30. In the meantime, I hope all your washing has dried wonderfully today on your lines across the North East and beyond. See you tomorrow at 1:30.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.